Welcome to another installment of the Prophecy Update radio program, whereby we purpose to authenticate the sovereignty of God through Bible prophecy by informing you what Bible prophecy has to say about these days. Today, we have a special guest with us, L.A. Marzulli. He is the author of several best-selling books, the Nephilim Trilogy, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, and his most recent book, The Alien Interviews. L.A., are you with me today?
I certainly am. Thank you for having me back on, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, I always enjoy our interviews. Sometimes we get out there on those cutting-edge areas where we explore the end-times epiphanies and discover the last day's dazzling discoveries. So we'll see where we end up today.
Okay.
We'll start with some current events. We'll talk about some other things that you're... I understand you're working on some 2012, perhaps another book coming out. We'll talk about that, but... let's get into right immediately on some current events here. I just saw an article today that the Pope is calling for a new economic order. Did you see that article, and what are some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And again, we're seeing the Pope move in a couple of directions. One about a month and a half ago when he visited Israel, calling for a two-state solution, which brings up the whole behind-the-scenes scenario. Is he really trying to grab all the sacred sites and put them under the Vatican? Is he trying to make Jerusalem some sort of a UN-controlled city or maybe a Vatican-controlled city? We see that. Now he's calling for this, you know, global currency. By the way, China, I think India and Russia have also called for that in the last several weeks. So it's alarming. In my opinion, that it is moving towards this one-world government, one-world religious system that the Book of Revelation tells us about. And, you know, it's taking baby steps right now. Does that mean, you know, that's going to come down over the next 2 weeks? Probably not. But it's alarming because we see our government in the United States talking about yet another stimulus bill, and we're already like trillions of dollars in debt, and this one could put us completely in – it could actually put us in bankruptcy, which is unbelievable when you think about it. Could put us in there. So, you know, you start connecting some of the dots, the Pope calling for – a global currency, when we look at what's happened in Europe in the last, you know, 20 years, sort of the United States of Europe, there was a couple of emails that came out and went across my desk, and this came right out of the former Soviet Union talking about the partitioning of the United States into four separate countries, if you can even imagine that. So it's just, there's so much going on, and yet we're inundated, and I'm just might be a little off topic here, but we're inundated with the Michael Jackson, funeral, which is just, to me, with all due respect to Jackson and the family and the loss that they're feeling, and I understand that, just the height of absurdity. It's like the Roman circus in modern day time. Let's run with this thing as all the channels yesterday carry this thing. Meanwhile, you know, the cap and trade bill was passed by the House. The Pope's doing his little thing with calling for some sort of a UN with some teeth. I mean, globalism is here. Some of my research uncovered some interesting facts. For instance, the amount of earthquakes have literally doubled since 1990 and 2008, from about 14,000 a year to well over 32,000 earthquakes a year. And of course, the death count has gone through the roof with that. According to some statistics that I was looking at over the weekend, there are now 1.2 billion people on this planet facing starvation. They're not there yet, but the way the crops are and the international droughts or droughts in different countries, 1.2 billion could face possible starvation.
Let me chime in for a second.
Sure.
Because you talk about earthquakes on the rise and the famine scenario that may be forthcoming. Now we're talking about, these are indicators that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. He
Bingo.
Called them birth pangs, meaning that as we get nearer to the end, powerful prophetic events will start coming with more intensity and more frequency, much like a mother about to give birth to a child as it's coming through the womb. So I don't mean to interrupt, but keep going. But to the listeners, that's what we're talking about here, is these increases do seem to evidence the fulfillment coming forward from Jesus' prophecy.
Yeah, and it's that's exactly where I was going. And, you know, not that you cut me off at the pass. It's just that, you know, you and I travel in this stuff, and we're, we have like spider senses, like in Spider-Man. They start tingling when we look at this. Not that we're jumping up and down, oh my gosh, look, 1.2 billion people are on the verge of starvation. No, it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. My cry is, Lord Jesus, come and come quickly. Because I know when he comes, that is my hope. That is my future. That's what I look to. And I realize to the, not, you know, the non-believer, that sounds completely fanatical and crazy. And yet, I look at the Gospels, I look, we're off topic here maybe, but it really ties in. I look at the Gospels and I look at what he did. I look at the good news that's there. I look at the fact that he healed everybody of pretty much everything all the time. That he had power over the demonic. He had power over the enemy. He had power over every disease. He had power over the elements. He was able to produce ex nihilo from nothing, food and bread to feed the multitudes, and he was benevolent. And yet, you know, there was a strength there. Here's a guy that was walking miles with just sandals on his feet, you know, with his group of followers. I mean, walking from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, you go there today and you try that. I mean, he was a tough, rugged, I believe, sort of an individualist, and yet just amazingly compassionate. That's who the king is. You know, that's one side of him. Now when he comes back, he'll rule with a rod of iron. I can't wait. I put all my eggs in that basket. I bow before his name. I, you know, bow my head and bend my knee willingly. And I just thank God I'm born again. So when he comes, and the promise of Revelation, this is what most people don't get. Wars and famines and pestilence and disease and death, all that's obliterated. All that's gone. He wipes away every tear. That's our hope. You know, there is no other hope. I mean, the hope in mankind, the United Nations has been running for what? How many decades now? Is the world any better off? Absolutely not. So getting back on track, you know, you start putting these things together, then you look at the pandemics or the epidemics which are happening globally, especially when you look at the AIDS, which according to some statistics has killed over 50 million people in Africa, entire villages wiped out. Huge problems with orphanages and the children. I mean, it's literally a generation displaced. Unbelievable what is going on. Then the rise of the global economic system, the one world government. We see that things are kind of moving towards that. I find it alarming what Obama has done just in the short 6 months of his presidency. The, you know, tax or not tax and spend, but print from thin air from the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, has nothing to do with our government. If your listeners don't know that, they should do some investigating on what the Fed really is and how it's, we are now owned sort of by international bankers, which former presidents, for instance, Jefferson, warned us about. And that was instituted from Jekyll Island in the early part of the 20th century, right around 1917. And things have never been the same since with Social Security, income tax, and all this other nonsense. It was never supposed to be this way. And so now the $1 trillion stimulus is just printed from nothing, literally printed from nothing. There is no gold standard backing our currency. And it's distributed where? We don't get anything. The common guy on the street doesn't get anything. If they wanted to stimulate the economy, all they would have to do is lower everybody's interest rates to 3% across the board for 5 years and then slowly readjust it. Watch people dance in the streets if that happened. But they won't do that because I believe that there's a shadow government, and this sounds a little conspiratorial, but, you know, when you get into the Operation Paperclip and the Nazis in World War II, and we can get in there if you want to, but there's some really dark stuff going on here, really dark stuff. Well, now, in my opinion, it's Luciferian.
Well, now with Palin stepping down out of a government position and Obama creating a relatively chaotic environment with all this money printing you're talking about, I like your 3% interest rate scenario, being that I have a mortgage background. Are you going to be running for president? I mean, would you put sodas in all the kids' fountains at the schools? I mean, I like that idea. But I don't mean to stray from it. You're talking about a Luciferian era here, and I know there's a lot of talk about that going on. And, you know, I also, does that somewhat connect into some of the other studies you've been doing with 2012? Is there a lot of emphasis that these Luciferians are starting to put forward into the 2012 scenario? And I think you're also going to write a book about that, aren't you?
Well, I am, and it's basically called 2012. I'm in research mode, and I've written several chapters, and I've got interviews now that are stacking up. I will say this about it, that I believe that the source, and this is what I'm going to contrast, and it's funny how, and since this is a Christian radio show, I can kind of talk Christianese without fear of being switched off, but the bottom line is I felt I had a sort of an assignment from the Lord and writing about the Acceleration, which is the name of my radio show, Acceleration Radio. I was going to write about how things are moving, and we just got finished talking about that, the idea of earthquakes and famines and pestilence. All this is seemingly burgeoning. They are signed right out of Matthew 24, which is very alarming. And I started working on that, and then I kind of switched. I felt the Lord give me this thing on 2012 and realized that the phenomena is growing, and it's just it's a new age circles. It's so many people who don't know anything about it are being caught up in it, and so basically I realized just recently that the two books that I thought I had are actually one book. And so what I start off with is 2012, and looking at the sources of the material, specifically the Mayan prophecy, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the Hopi Indian prophecy, where the source is, how it links back into shamanistic and satanic ritual practices, which are forbidden in the supernatural guidebook, i.e. called the Bible. I prefer to call it the supernatural guidebook because that's really what it is. It tells us how to interface with the supernatural. And if you were to take all that out of the Bible, there'd be nothing or barely anything left, a series of genealogies and battles. But it says it very specifically in the Word to avoid soothsayers, necromancers, people with familiar spirits, and it does so very, very succinctly. I mean, there's no mixing of words. There's no, well, you can on a certain day, or, well, a Ouija board is okay. I mean, it's very, very, very specific. And so I take that and with that idea, and we look at 2012, and we go and we trace Nostradamus, and we realize, and I'm probably giving way too much away than I want to, but we go through all those people, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Blossom Goodchild, Blossom Goodchild and Edgar Cayce are certainly modern-day prophets. And I just finished an interview with Blossom Goodchild, and bless her heart, she came on and answered, in a forthright way. But the woman, in my opinion, is completely deluded in the sense that, she believes that the spirit that she's contacting, which is the guy is called Gray Cloud, which is this deceased Native American, is the real deal. And, of course, from where we come from and from our paradigm, we look at this and she has exactly what I would call a familiar spirit. And we're warned in Leviticus to stay away from this. And so we can't trust the information that's coming. And what we realize is that 2012 is really being set up, in my opinion, as a false flag. It's drawing people away from biblical truth of biblical prophecy. Now, I'm not a date setter. People are always going, is it going to happen next week? Is it going to happen in 2012? Is this the end of the world? Look, we're told to watch, not set dates. I have no clue. I only know, in my opinion, that things seem to be accelerating. I've got numbers. I've got hard, cold stats that tell me the amount of earthquakes have doubled since 1990. That's alarming. Is that just a trend, a cyclical trend, and then they're going to go back down, or are things accelerating? Scripture tells us that all these things would begin to manifest. It would be the birth pangs. And I just look at it, and I just, one guy looking at Scripture, if Israel wasn't back in the homeland, probably wouldn't be writing about the stuff that I write about, because to me everything hinges around the regathering of Israel back into its ancient homeland, and that has happened. 1948, that's happened. So, put all this together, and I think we're in very precarious times, but very exciting times.
Well, I want to take it and talk about Israel for a second. First of all, I do appreciate your Napoleon Dynamite impersonation. You are a man of many talents. I've been living in Malibu, close to Hollywood, too long, I think, over there. You did mention Michael Jackson, the tabloid, the untimely death, of course, we were saddened by that, but uh-huh. It is the tabloid news. And when I saw this stolen election, apparently, in Iran, and these protesters coming forward, and it was getting a lot of front-page news, which was important, I started saying to myself, well, I wonder, what tabloid news is going to happen now that's going to take away from that and put this Iranian revolution on the back.
There you go.
On the back pages. And I thought, well, maybe O.J. Simpson will try to break out of jail. Or I thought,
when in doubt, always go to O.J.
Or I thought Michael Jackson, something might happen. And there, lo and behold, he passes, and you can't hardly find anything more on the Iranian revolution. Now, the reason that's important right now is because it appears that Iran is pretty much going to nestle back into the same mm-hmm. military regime they've got with mm-hmm. the same President Ahmadinejad that wants to wipe Israel off the map. And there's a lot of movement going on and speculation going on that Israel is going to have to strike Iran now. Mm-hmm. And The Saudis seem to be, turning the other, turning their head the other way, as if Israel could use their airspace. In Biden and Obama have been in the news. Biden says,
Biden says go, Obama says no.
Yeah, Obama says no. I like that. And so, well, what are you seeing and hearing about all this?
Well, you know, and we have slightly different opinions as to how all this is going to come down. Are we looking at Psalm 83? Man, you know, something's in the wind. Something's in the wind. Is Israel going to expand its borders like you postulate? It certainly could. It's just hard to say what is actually going to come down. I kind of lean towards the Ezekiel 38 only because Iran and Russia are, you know, in bed together, and they're, the dogs are barking at something, you know, in bed together, and this is, it's sort of a ticking clock here. This could be, And this could fit right in this. Your scenario, does Israel, let's say, do a preemptive attack on Iran, kind of knock them back a bit, and then that sets up the Psalm 83 scenario. Certainly, that could be what we're looking at. Hard to say. It's speculation. But something is going to shift here and shift soon. Something is going to happen. Iran is going to get or join the nuclear club. Israel knows it can't allow the Iranians to do that. Now, if there was a regime change where somebody came in and go, you know, we realize that Israel has the right to exist and it's okay, then Israel wouldn't have to do a preemptive strike. And that's what many people in the West, of course, were hoping with the reformer, although I can't pronounce the guy's name, but whatever it was, apparently he was pretty much along the same lines as Ahmadinejad. So it's this, the new boss,
Musavi, and he probably wasn't going to bring much change. He's still interested in nuclear weapons and not excited about Israel's existence, is my understanding as well. But you're right, something is set to explode in the Middle East, and it's probably got biblical ramifications. Whether it's Psalm 83, you can almost march through some possible scenarios, like Israel strikes Iran, and they're also talking about Israel not only strategically striking Iran's nuclear plants, but doing it in a cyberspace type way as well, jamming the frequencies, EMP perhaps, articles coming out that way. But more and more we start reading these things, and in light of the fact that the revolt in Iran is calming down. Obama's coming to realize that he's probably not going to be able to have any success with his engagement plan with Ahmadinejad.
Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah, we Rodney King style of foreign policy. Can't we just all
can we all get along?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Great.
But, we're talking about some very serious world-changing things that fit in stride with the birth pangs. The things are coming, and when they come, they're going to probably happen very, very soon. Now, I want to step aside from Israel for a moment and get into an area sort of your expertise. What's going on with these recent crop circles with Quetzalcoatl and things like that? You blogged something about that recently.
Yeah, I did a blog on it yesterday, and it's just what the church needs to understand is that there are literally millions of people who follow this. I mean, the New Age movement is just burgeoning. People, especially among young people, college kids, people have been brought up in the church. There's no, they don't hear the word. They hear some sort of a prosperity gospel. There's no real connection. And so, you know, they're dazzled by the New Age. They hear something. It tickles their ears. They get a little buzz, maybe supernaturally, have an experience or something. And next thing you know, they're out and looking at crop circles. And what's interesting is all this is tying together. Of course, it's pointing at 2012, but there was a huge, huge crop circle. And for those of you who don't know about crop circles, it's interesting. I'm actually going to blog about this probably tomorrow or the day after, but soon.
Now, what's your blog site? Not to interrupt.
That's fine. Thanks. It's lamarzulli.wordpress.com. lamarzulli.wordpress.com. I blog 5 days a week, variety of subjects. Pretty much, though, it ties in with politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. But there's a special by Nat Geo, and it's just funny how, you know, we've heard about this stuff, and then it sort of comes clear and clean that they have an agenda, and anything that doesn't support that agenda, they'll doctor the film, they'll doctor the footage, they'll do whatever they have to do. So the agenda that they're trying to get or put across is promulgated. And what's interesting is they interviewed this woman who's a crop circle expert. Her name is Linda Talbot, last name I know is Tom, and I think the first name is Linda. And they interviewed her, and it went about a three-hour interview, and she, you know, didn't really, just signed the release. And she saw the program, and they basically left out everything that she had to say. And the way they colored it and the way they skewed the interview was to show that most of these crop circles are actually done by hoaxers, people doing this thing. So Talbot is just incensed. She can't even believe us. They basically threw out all of her research and everything that would point that there's some sort of a phenomena, a real genuine phenomena. Yes, there's hoaxers, but the difference is just glaring between what a hoaxer does and what isn't created by a hoaxer. So, she kind of busted them, and that's what I'm going to blog about. She actually had this clip where Nat Geo has got these guys. Listen to this, how twisted it is. Nat Geo's got these actors in the crop circle with boards, and they're pretending that they're making a crop circle. The problem is the crop circle that they're in was already created, and no one knows by whom or by or how it was done. So it's like, you know, it's almost like a Nazi propaganda film. It's like, you know, this has nothing to do with reality. So when you look at the crop circles, and there have been just startling glyphs in rapeseed and in the fields in England this year. One was this huge jellyfish. The thing was over 700 feet long. And I just got back from Roswell, New Mexico, where I spoke for about, you know, an hour and a half. It was a Christian symposium on UFOs, and my topic was UFOs are real, burgeoning, and not going away. And as I was, I used some of the newer glyphs in my presentation to show the audience, and then I just asked them a simple question. Can you imagine someone at 2:30 in the morning on a rainy night with boards and string out in the field making this? And everybody just laughed. I mean, it's just absolutely laughable. Yes, the simpler ones can be done that way. Yes, they can with a board. You know, you can make it look pretty decent. But the intricacies of some of these crop circles are just incredible. And, of course, what they are, in my opinion, let's cut to the chase here. They are demonically made. And it's sort of good cop, bad cop. The other end of that would be the cattle mutilations, where the cattle is taken, sex organs are cored out, blood is drained, and then dropped back in the farmer's field. I mean, how much more horrific do you need to look at or have an experience like that? It's unnerving, it's horrific, it causes fear. The crop circles are exactly the opposite of that. They cause wonder. It's like, wow, look at this, isn't this amazing? Oh, they must be benevolent. And of course, what it is, it's leading people down this path of destruction. The newest one had the fan. I think we talked about this a little earlier, of Quetzalcoatl, and it one of the comments was talking about the fact that Quetzalcoatl and Jesus were actually from or created by the Shining One, and we all know who the Shining One is. I mean, it's actually, you know, used in the Bible that way to talk about Satan, to talk about Lucifer, and so it's the blind leading the blind. And the phenomenon is real. It's not going away. The church this is what I do full time. You know this, Bill. The church needs to understand what the phenomenon is, begin to warn its people. So when it happens near a theater near you, you know, first of all, you have an answer. You won't be overwhelmed by the phenomenon. You won't be afraid of it. You'll understand who's behind it and that this actually is part of a deception that the Bible warns us about.